Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Final segment of Ben and Woods on a Monday. Getting ready to talk a little more baseball. First, though, this hour of Ben and Woods brought to you by Smart Investing. Brent Wilsey is the host of the Smart Investing Show, heard every Saturday morning at 9 on 97.3 The Fan. This is a great time to invest in stocks, but you have to know the right ones to invest in. Tune in for your weekly dose of helpful investing information. Smart Investing, Saturdays at 9 a.m. Sports Illustrated, Stephanie Epstein is standing by. First, though, let's check traffic on 97.3 The Fan with Kelly Danick. Woods, is a lifelong San Diegan, I've flown out of Lindbergh Field many times, but I always have the confident knowledge knowing that I get to come back later because I live here. Our next guest on our SDCCU fan hotline, unfortunately, is doing the opposite. She's leaving San Diego right now. Who knows when she gets to come back? But Stephanie Epstein from Sports Illustrated is with us here on Ben and Woods. Stephanie, good morning. I hope you enjoyed our fair city for the ALCS this past week.
Good morning. I did. Thank you. It's been great.
What a series, though. I mean, you we were talking earlier that it's really never happened where one team goes up 3-0 and then the other team comes back to tie it. Now, we've seen the Red Sox come all the way back, but then to lose that Game 7, almost more agonizing for the Houston Astros than had they just got swept in the first place and had it done with early.
Yeah, I think that was a pretty brutal outcome for those guys. You know, they convinced themselves that they were going to do it and then fell short. I think there were some pretty sad guys over in that clubhouse.
Which, you know, makes a lot of us very happy. Yeah. Which, it's a bad way to live, Stephanie. I get it. I loved your article that you wrote for SI, and I loved what you said when you're talking about the Tampa Bay Rays and how they were constructed. Essentially, they were built in a thrift shop, you know, amongst old Afghans for sale. They were able to find some diamonds in the rough. We've been kind of kicking it around all morning. What is it in us that tells us we should root for that team? And again, like, the Dodgers spend a lot of money. The Rays don't. Is that right, to root for the team that doesn't spend any money but is still very good?
I think it's a hard question. Eric Neander, the Rays GM, actually answered sort of a version of it yesterday. He said that he thinks it's good for the game for people to be able to win in different ways. That it's not just, there's not just one pathway. And I think that's probably true. I mean, I think in general, you would prefer, it's better for the game when players are making the money that they earn. But it's also pretty good for the game when Tampa finds Mike Brasso, who was undrafted entirely, or Kevin Kiermaier, who went in the 31st round. So when they find these guys who were overlooked by other teams, I think that is good for the game too, to see those guys flourish. I mean, we would never have seen Randy Arozarena was, you know, the Cardinals were pretty high on him. But players like this maybe wouldn't get the stage that they're on if not for teams like Tampa that are looking for sort of a more efficient use of resources.
What is the Randy Arozarena story? I mean, this guy is new to most baseball fans. He's just jumped onto the scene, and he just every single time I'm looking up, he's hitting another home run. I often think it's a replay. Oh, no, wait, no, he's actually hitting another home run, what he's doing. I mean, what kind of did you learn a little bit more during this series covering Randy Arozarena?
It's incredible to watch. I mean, we were just laughing every time he would come to the plate. He would do something insane, and we would just, the press box would just start cracking up, because of course he did. You can't get a fastball by him. I don't know why anybody tries. And now he's hitting the breaking ball, too. So I'm not really sure what you're supposed to do honestly facing Randy Arozarena. I have a feature on him actually coming out tomorrow as SI's daily cover. So maybe your readers, your listeners can check that out. But he's just so much fun is the other thing. He does this dance off with Brett Phillips after big wins. He calls himself, he says his favorite player is Randy Arozarena. He's just a delight. His teammates, he just cracks everybody up. I mean, they haven't even known him that long. You know, he just got there this year, and with the protocols for COVID, it was very hard for guys to get to know each other, I think, because you can't go out for dinner. You can't even really hang out without masks. It's not the best way to make friends with your new teammates, but they get such a kick out of him.
Yeah, he's been a delight to watch. His story is phenomenal, too. We're talking to Stephanie Abstein here on Ben and Woods this morning, and she'll have a piece coming out about Arozarena tomorrow, so make sure you read that. But when you look at these two teams, obviously it's a little bit of David and Goliath. Actually, it's a lot of bit David and Goliath. You got some marquee players on the Dodgers, and then you got this team that just figures out a way to win. I made my pick. I took the Rays in six. I don't like the Dodgers. And I do think there's one decided advantage, and I think it's Kevin Cash over Dave Roberts. I think he knows how to get the most from his players, where I think we've seen Dave Roberts kind of falter in October.
Cash has had an incredible postseason, and Roberts has had a less incredible postseason. I would definitely agree with that. I noticed, too, I was thinking as we headed into Game 7, I couldn't really think of a move that Cash had made that was crazy. I mean, the toughest one was removing Blake Snell early and then doing the same of Charlie Morton, but that's their process. You know, there was no, and it worked one of the times. You can argue whether I don't know whether Blake Snell would have been good if he had stayed in, but there didn't really seem to be games decided by management, which is not what we were seeing in the NLCS. It was really, he's really got a sense of what his guys need to do to be successful. He puts them mostly in positions to be successful. And it's working out great for them.
Stephanie, how does that process change now that you go to a World Series and they bring off days back into the equation? Because this was a very different postseason, having to play, and in the Rays case, it was a 7 days in a row in the ALCS, following 5 days in a row in the ALDS against the Yankees. Now, this is quite different. They have 2 days off before game one. They'll play 2 days. They'll get another day off. This does change the equation a little bit. Does it benefit the Rays, or do you think it hurts the Rays?
Yeah, it's a great question. That's something that the teams are scrambling now to figure out how to handle it. I think the Rays are at somewhat of a disadvantage here in that they have such a good and such a deep bullpen, and the Dodgers are sort of struggling to figure out whom to trust with the game on the line. And so I think the Rays, as we saw, seven games in 7 days, they were able to go to their top relievers. They were able to space them out pretty well. They have so many guys who can get the key out for you that I think the off days are helpful, but they're more helpful to the Dodgers because the Dodgers don't have that kind of depth.
All right, before you you head out of town, one more question about the ALCS. The job that Dusty Baker did this year, it's weird because he wasn't tainted by everything that came before him with the Astros, yet as the manager, he had to kind of come in and defend those guys and have their backs. Dusty, one of the most well-liked and respected guys in baseball. What did you kind of see from him? I'm sure you guys Zoomed with him, you know, every day, multiple times a day, talking to him during the series. Where does Dusty Baker kind of stand? Is he safe coming back, do you think, for the Astros, or was he a one-year fix? What's his story going forward?
I think the Astros would be crazy to dismiss Dusty Baker. He's incredible. I think he put on a clinic this season and this postseason. He took a team that was really struggling in the wake of the cheating scandal that couldn't really decide whether they wanted to be villains or whether they wanted to be loved. They really struggled with the public reaction, and he got them to focus. I mean, the record wasn't great during the season, but you saw them really come together in the postseason. You saw them battle back, and those guys really trust him. I mean, you heard Zach Greinke at the end, after he was allowed to stay in to face an extra couple batters, he said afterward, you know, it was really nice to feel like my team trusted me. This team hasn't trusted me in those spots over in a while. And that, I think, was pretty notable, especially from a guy who's so understated. But it meant a lot to him that Dusty trusted him. He really built a great relationship with those guys.
Well, the one thing we won't have to watch is Jose Altuve throwing the ball from second base anymore.
And
just like holding the breath every single time.
That
was so painful. That was so hard to watch. Stephanie, great stuff. Enjoy the World Series. I appreciate you spending a few minutes with us. Have a safe flight.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me.
All right, and you can check out her her article on Randy Arozarena tomorrow on the Sports Illustrated Daily. Stephanie Epstein on our SDCCU fan hotline.
Well, let's put it this way, Benny. If he keeps, I mean, he is so clutch. He's so key for them to do anything in the series. He's got to continue to hit.
Well, that's the problem, is that they've gotten only this far by the skin of their teeth.
Skin of their teeth, offensively, yeah.
Based on his really otherworldly. You can't expect that to continue.
I know.
It's going to end at some point.
Hopefully
no one
not
stays
now.
As hot as he is forever. Now, can he do it for a few more games? Sure, I guess it's possible. But it's going to come crashing to a halt. And if it does, like right now, and he hits no home runs in the World Series, which isn't it's not crazy to say, hey, this guy didn't hit any home runs in the World Series. I don't know that the Rays have much of a chance unless he keeps going the way he's been going.
Well, you got to get contributions from other guys. You know, you just have to.
I mean, Lau.
Brendan Lau. I mean, my God, dude. I feel terrible for that guy. He hit that bomb. He's got an infield hit. I don't think anything outside of that. I mean, it's painful watching him hit right now. He, again, was the centerpiece of their offense.
By the way, Stephanie on our SDCCU fan hotline, SDCCU online, and mobile banking. Let's do your banking from your smartphone. Message and data rates may apply. For details, visit SDCCU.com. So one day off today, and then game one is tomorrow night. But, hey, in the meantime, we've got two NFL games for you. 2 o'clock today is Chiefs-Bills, which is a marquee AFC matchup. And then 5:15 here on 97.3 The Fan, the regular Monday Night Football game, Cardinals and Cowboys. So got that doubleheader. And then we got some good games coming up as well, including a matchup of unbeatens in the AFC, Steelers-Titans, I believe, is next week. That should be a good one coming up. So things to look forward to. And college football, I know the Notre Dame Fighting Irish are going to get Clemson in a couple of weeks.
That's not going to be fun.
Well, I mean, Notre Dame's coming off the COVID. They obviously didn't look good against Louisville.
No.
But they snuck out a win.
Whew.
You can't be looking forward to Clemson at this point.
No. No. It's going to be like a 40-point lambasting.
And Notre Dame's number
four?
Probably four team in the country right now. Probably three after, I think they're three after Georgia lost.
No.
Not going to take down Clemson?
No, they're not.
So
no. I mean, I would love to come on here and say that they are, but they're not. I think you know it. I know it. And there's just no chance.
I do know it, but I really want to get you to say that you think they're going to win.
Ben, I have learned so much about what not to say as it regards Notre Dame football. And for any win I get, it's precious. Hey, look, they got a dub. It's precious. I'm under no illusions. I'm not an idiot.
I mean, they've been one of the five best college football teams in America the last three years or so.
Very Dodgers-esque, though. They can get there, but they can't close it out. Let's hope that streak continues.
They're just below that upper echelon.
And I wouldn't even say just. They're below it. They're below it.
But they're above everyone else.
It's a weird place to be. They're like the 4A player.
Yeah, they're on the bubble.
They're really, really good.
The Clemson, Alabama. Occasionally there's one, an LSU last year. They're not quite there, but they're better than everyone else, and it just leaves them kind of sitting there. Just kind of there.
Too good
to face some teams, not quite good enough to face.
Correct.
The other teams.
Yeah, I'm not expecting much.
No.
And if you don't expect much, you don't get let down.
Okay? You didn't watch a ton of football yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Pauly, did you watch any Red Zone yesterday?
I had Red Zone on.
Which Red Zone do you have? The one with Hanson or Siciliano?
Hanson.
Okay, because I was wondering, because
I never know what is what.
One of it's for DirecTV, the other one's like for cable. But Andrew Siciliano, who hosts I think it's the cable one, missed yesterday because he had a COVID positive test, and they had to have another guy step in, Dan Halley.
Oh God,
that's got to be the toughest job to go into red zone. Yes.
Oh my God.
I mean, when I read that, I got for a guy I didn't even know. I got like panic sweats. Like pictured myself. Hey, Andrew Siciliano just called in sick today. Got a positive COVID test. Can you, with like a couple hours notice, come in and host the NFL Red Zone channel, which is 7 straight hours from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. essentially, of knowing every game and hopping back and forth between all of them? I mean, the preparation that has to go into that, to have to fill in and do that. I wish I had that channel because I didn't get to see
Plus
how he
there's
did.
There's all the logistics of just knowing like when to go to one game and then, wait, am I supposed to talk?
Yeah, you've got a producer that's probably constantly in your ear talking about, okay, we're going to go to this next, and then after that, while you're talking
Tom Brady
on,
touchdown, Tom Brady touchdown, Tom Brady touchdown.
Yeah, oh, it's just constantly in your ear. It's got to be one of the toughest broadcasting gigs out there.
It can be a tough listen, too, because, you know, I'm a new convert to Red Zone because I finally just got a package that has it, and sometimes it's on and you're like, gee, what are you like, enough, it's too much. I got a toddler running around screaming, my wife's yelling at me, and I got this guy just talking like crazy on my television screen. So while it's pretty awesome, you don't have to sit and slog through a crap game that the network gives you, it's also a bit of a can be a bit of a cluster F, Ben, in your ear.
To me, that's got to be one of the toughest. We talked about with Doc Emrick retiring, you know, play-by-play for a hockey game, really, really hard. I would think hosting Red Zone is got to be the hardest studio job that's out there in sports broadcasting right now. It just doesn't get more chaotic and have to keep an eye on more games at one time than that one. Like when they go to their 9 box like game in the mornings when there's 9 different games going on, and you kind of have to have a sense for, you know, the down situation, the score, where in the game it is, who's got the ball, of all of them at the same time, that is always a remarkable thing. So, yeah, I didn't see how Dan Helly, H-E-L-L-I-E, did, and I don't really know his broadcasting credentials either. So,
well, this job much easier than that job because we are almost done for the day.
That's right. But we should have a good one tomorrow. We'll have a couple of football games to talk about.
David Ortiz will not be on the show tomorrow.
We've already determined that, but just we will
FYI.
Be previewing Game 1 of the World Series between the Rays and the Dodgers. And, go Rays. I guess most of San Diego, it's pretty. We can be united in this one.
Well, you would think, but still plenty of Dodger fans down here.
There are. I know lots. I know lots of them.
Just turn on your TV.
Yeah, just turn on your local.
They haven't
television.
Been obnoxious though.
They haven't.
They've been. They know what can happen.
Well, some have. Not the local guys.
No, I don't think so because they know what's happened before. They're going to wait until
you should wait. You should wait. You should definitely wait before you flap gum to win one. You know.
For sure. All right, that's it for a Monday. Glad everyone took some time out to join us. Really appreciate it. Should be a good rest of the week. For Paul Reindl, for Woodsy, I'm Ben. Coach John Quintero will be in at noon. Gwen and Chris will be talking to you through that Chiefs-Bills game leading you up to Monday Night Football 5:15 kickoff between the Cardinals and the Cowboys. That's it for Ben and Woods right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Have a great rest of your Monday.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.